So this morning, we'll talk about Phineas Perkhouse Quimby. The title, Truth is the Wisdom of God, Error is the God of Opinions, which is a quote from him. And he talks about how that is the absolute teachings, there's nothing in between. I've been more than ever looking at his works through Ron Hughes's Phineas Perkhouse Quimby, his complete writings and beyond. And I figure it's how blessed we are that Ron took the time to put together such a magnificent compilation of all the works of Dr. Quimby that I know he sacrificed a lot of his time. He had told me at one point that he lived in a hotel for 2 years because he could stay close to the Quimby estate, which he had free access to all the libraries. And his wife, I think, stayed with him quite a lot of time, so blessings to her, too, must have been quite an ordeal. But we have this wonderful book, and it takes us through, since Quimby was very much, though he wasn't a writer, he was very much about logging in all his experiences, and along with a lot of articles on that were written about him, and interviews, and letters that he wrote to many of his patients. It's just all wonderfully put together in there. And so it takes us through a man who was a clockmaker, inventor of hydraulics. He had several patents, to a man who went into mesmerism and then called it humbug and entered into Christ consciousness, where he did his greater works. So several things that he wrote here I wanted to look at and see what happens. I'm going to read a couple of these. First thing that he calls and I'll even tell you what page it's on, this first article, the first cause, which is on page 278, and he says, I will try to give an illustration of my first cause. Wisdom is outside of everything. Opinion is in wisdom, for wisdom fills all space. Therefore, it being all wise, everything comes within itself. Opinion, being in belief, cannot be wisdom, for it is liable to change. Now man is one or the other of these two elements, wisdom or opinion. Principles are wisdom, reduced to science or practice. Laws are not principles, but are based on opinions that can change, and they belong to man's reasoning. Principles do not reason at all, but are like rays of light. All the principles of wisdom that are understood are like the points of a compass, and these we call cardinal principles. Now man divides the globe into four quarters, and the filling up of the points of the compass is to fill up the space. So that man knows more than the four points, so with wisdom. The principles are so many that it is impossible to understand only as we grow wise. Now, that's quite a mouthful. But he is talking about the idea of principles that absolutely work. And when we get caught up with too much of man's opinions, we begin to dilute the principles and then can even proclaim how they don't work, because now we're lost in our opinions. And we've swayed away from the wisdom or the rays of wisdom. We've swayed away from what the principles are completely are, thinking that we have the answer. And so there it is. If I think I have the answer and I decide it's wrong and that's my conclusion, then I'm done. I will grow no further. A good scientist, not all scientists, but a really good scientist is always ready to continue exploration. A good scientist is always ready to accept the idea that that he or she may be incorrect, as much as they are passionate about their new discovered idea. Because that is the way to continue growing. To stay steadfast that this is it, that's it, we're done, in a world that is infinite and never ending, seems like such a great limitation to discovering things or having our personal journey in this goodness. So he points this out, and it gets a little bit caught up in the whole idea that how easily we, the human being, the flesh, takes hold of an idea and sways away from the absolute principle. that is of God mind. One of his other articles, which he calls All Men Have Gone Out of the Way, None Doeth Good. It's on page 129. Now, what is the difference between Christ's belief and the world's belief? Christ had no belief. His kingdom was an everlasting kingdom without beginning or end. It is a science based on the eternal truth. It does not contain an opinion or belief. It is all knowledge and power, and will reign till all beliefs and error shall be destroyed. The last error or belief is death or ignorance, and truth or science will reign till ignorance is destroyed. Then the son of law shall be subject to God. Now, for me, in and of this is why divine science is very adamant about practicing meditation in silence, so that we move beyond this whole idea that we have to have this system of beliefs that they hear. Christ has had no belief, so of Christ there is no belief. Of Christ there is an everlasting kingdom without beginning or end. It's being moving beyond words and thoughts. If I'm moving beyond words and thoughts, and I'm living in that stream or river or whatever you want to call it, that flowing motion, I don't need to be in there having opinions about it. I just need to allow it to be as it is, and for me to be one with it. And as Dr. Salazar would say, and let whatever happens, happen. Just let whatever happens, happen. And in regards, contemplate, meditate, and then let whatever happens, happen. It's almost in a sense I need to contemplate to get my opinions out of the way in contemplating, no matter how spot on they are. And once I move beyond the contemplation, I can meditate in silence. Once in the silence, I could actually tap into that ever-flowing wisdom of light, that I don't need to have words and opinions. I just need to realize my oneship in Christ consciousness. Call it the big Om if you want. Om, you know. The silence. Now, these are things that Quimby practiced and had quite Christ-like results. So that's why I find these articles so important. They're rather deep, but this is him explaining how he did what he did. So I just feel it really deserves the attention of what it is he's explaining and trying to tell us. Just like Jesus tried to tell us how many people are listening to what Jesus. Instead, we get a whole church and we call ourselves Christians and we wear costumes and fancy hats and have all these rituals and all these symbolisms and all these little practices of prayer and all this stuff, which Jesus did none of it. Didn't do any of that at all. Jesus was not a Christian. He did not call himself a Christian. At best, he called himself the Way of the Father of Light, the Teacher. But he did not call himself a Christian. And for that matter, Buddha did not call himself a Buddhist, and Muhammad did not call himself a Muslim. This is all man-made opinions. And as soon as we start that stuff, we begin to dilute ourselves from the truth and then get all confused in our opinions. And we've removed ourselves from that absolute ability to go into the silence like Jesus did, like Quimby did, like Buddha did, like so many others have done. And it worked because it works. So the good news is, if it's not working too well, that's simply because I'm not working it. That's good news. That means I can keep learning. It doesn't mean it doesn't work. Other folks would say it doesn't work. It's just a bunch of wackadoodles. Yeah, I look at it this way: studying from what Jesus truly taught, or even someone like Quimby, it's like, why go to the manager when I can learn from the CEO? Why ask the manager questions when I can go straight to the CEO and ask the CEO questions? So that's the hard part. You know, as Eric Butterworth said, man has so filled up his churches with symbolisms and rituals that he's completely blocked the view to God. And now what we do is look at symbols and rituals and have all these little practices, and the window of God's been completely blocked out of the picture. I mean, what are we doing? What is that all about? It's a lack of faith. It's the ego of man at work, wanting that wonderful attention of self-centeredness, to be consumed in it, and kind of forget all about God, and yet proclaiming God at the same time. Jesus did not work that way. Quimby did not work that way. And so their stuff sounds very strange to many people. From another article, illustrating the word mind, the wisdom that put me in possession of this truth is Christ, the wisdom above my patient. Jesus says, fear hath torment, and perfect love, or wisdom, casteth out fear. By this wisdom I explain their fears away and destroy their torment, and this process is a science. It is a sin to know and teach this for the happiness of mankind, and do I make myself equal with Christ? Well, if I do, then I'll submit to the odium willingly. See, there's another thing. How dare you say that you're working in Christ's mind? How dare you proclaim that Jesus was correct in saying, you can do these things I do, in 3 out of the 4 Gospels? How dare you say that? But Jesus said it. So what do you mean, how dare I? Again, could that be the ego of the human being at work? An ego that is putting someone down and at the same time putting themselves down, proclaiming, I'm so much less than what Jesus has taught me that I am. Well, you know, it comes down to this bottom line. Either Jesus was telling the truth, or he's a liar. There's nothing in between. If you don't believe what Jesus taught you, then you believe he's a liar, even though you may never admit it to yourself. You believe he's lying, because you don't believe what he's telling you. So he's a liar. And it might be some deep-rooted belief, and you never out loud, oh, Jesus, I love Jesus. Jesus is my everything. Well, it's beautiful, but how about he's a wonderful teacher, and I'm learning from him? And others who teach of this same truth, this same principle. You know, he says it right here. You know, part of that ego, that type of destructive ego, which we get such great gratification from, is because we're living in fear. And he points it right here. One of the strongest things he has to do, his healing in the bigger picture of it all, had mostly to do with getting his patients to stop believing in the lies. You know, he says, fear hath torment, and perfect love or wisdom casteth out fear. And that's the bottom line. When I can enter into an absolute loving state of God mind, not man's love, but God's mind of love, there's no fear. It's removed. It's gone. It's out of the picture. It can't even, in that consciousness, fear is not even something that can be acknowledged. Like, you can't comprehend it. Well, what is that? It's like, oh, that fear thing. What is that? Suddenly, I've experienced it so much, but yet in that state of mind, I don't know it. It's amazing. It's beautiful. And for Quimby, it was the biggest part of how he applied what he did that helped to heal so many people. In this other article, called Christ Explained, which is on page 166. The true Christ comes in this way. He takes no thought what he will say, but it comes to him, and he sits down by the sick, and the answer corresponds with the feelings. For instance, if you feel a pain, you have a wisdom of what the substance or belief is that makes it. So your science or Christ will analyze the substance and explain it to the patient in language so pain that he will understand it. And as he understands, he embraces your wisdom, and that lights up the error or belief till the belief is lost in wisdom and the shadow is gone. and you rejoice in the Christ or truth that sets you free. This is the true Christ. So the word Christ is the name of that wisdom that can feel a sensation of another. Analyze it so as to explain the error and destroy the belief so that the patient is set free from his belief. Christ is light. So is science, and to be equal with Jesus is to do as he did. If you, by any power not understood, should do miracles or anything far beyond Jesus and do not know how you do it, then you would be a Christ but an ignorant one. You know, how would I do that? You know, I think we've all had those moments. And that's the thing to start looking into and understanding. How did I have that moment? It wasn't happen chance. It wasn't just a miracle from God. God doesn't work that way. A lot of people believe God works that way. God will fix me. God will change me. No, I will accept the truth of what God is. And then I will experience something far greater than my opinions. I remember Dr. Salazar flooring an entire room of people when he said, look, here it comes down to this. God does not love you. Never did, never will. God is love. And if you're in and of something, how can it love you like it's from somewhere else? When you're in and of it, then you're already in and of that love. So you are of God's love. So if you want to wait around for God to love you, it's not going to happen. You're already loved. It's already there. You're created by it. You are it. You're not apart from it. And it's hard to comprehend these things. But then once it really starts to register in, then a new form of meditation can take place. You know? A couple of years ago, both my knees were getting really bad. They're completely cleared up. I never went to a doctor for it. Never went. But I had some wonderful meditations of just being, not even like, oh, fix my knees, please. No, just being in absolute love. And a wellness that is of love. And after doing that a few times, it cleared up. Now, I think also a healthier way of living ties in. But I think one will work the same. I don't think one has a healing experience and then continues to live a destructive life. In fact, that's what it means when he says, go forth and sin no more. It means don't go doing what you were doing that led you to what you wound up as. Stop doing that. If you want to, you're healed, but if you want to continue doing what you're doing, it's going to come back. And that's powerful. You know, that's absolutely powerful. But who gets really taught any of this? Especially here in our Western society. It's only starting to trickle out a little bit more. You're hearing a little bit about things going up. You can bring dogs to the hospital now. People have these wonderful experiences and suddenly get more energetic because they have a dog to pet. But reading stuff, little things like that. You would think, like, you know, it's not always this big, phenomenal. It's just simple little things sometimes that happen, that take place, that comes place through a goodness in our thinking, that comes from the goodness of our spirit. You know, so these articles, and there's so many of them in there. This is just a little speck of what's in this book. And part of it just helps to inspire how this does work, because the stories are over and over and over and over and over and over again. Many letters, many patients, many folks who went to them. You know, so it may be one of the best collections we have. When you think about all the books that folks wrote, and yet none of them have what Quimby stored away but never wrote any books, yet we have a greater collection of one person doing good works, than we have of anybody. So it's pretty powerful. It's pretty powerful stuff. You know, I started yet another group over at the hospital. So I'm running three groups now. And it's all because of what I'm doing. Because I'm doing this. And everyone agrees this is different. But that's about as far as we're getting in the big picture thing. But it's different enough to let me come back in more. Because of the way the patients are responding to it. Because of how their attitudes are changing. Because of how their spirit is coming up in a more positive way, how much they like what I come in and talk about. They're attracted to it. You know, I even had a woman who's like one of the, I'm not exactly sure what her position is, but she's the boss to the person who runs the micro group. And she had to sit in one day because the person who wasn't able to be there. And we always have to have two people in those rooms. You can't have just one person. So she was there, and she came up afterwards, and I could tell she was floored. I could tell it. I could see by the look on her face. He's a fairly open-minded, pretty open-minded person. But afterwards, she said to me, Craig, none of these patients open up as much in any group we have as much as they do in your group. None of them. None of the groups have this kind of response. And all I'm doing is talking about this stuff. You know, so different, and yet it's so ancient. This rejection mankind has for this kind of teachings. It's not like it's new. It's not a 21st century thing. You can find it all right in the beginning of Genesis. Explains it all very clearly. By the time you get through the story of Adam and Eve to understand that part of Genesis, you've been told everything you need to know about how to become more Christ-like. It's all right there. You don't even have Moses. Abraham's not even in the picture yet. And it's all right there. If you understand this treasure trove that's been so freely given to us. But instead, it's been turned into a lot of babble and is taught in a very babbling way. It's taught more like a history lesson than truth principle. And that's the tragedy. That means it's missed altogether. And that I honestly believe those who originally wrote this stuff did not write it that way. They wrote it in truth. It's just the way they wrote things back then, you know. So anyway, a little bit of Quimby today, a little bit of his thinking, and how it worked for him. Anyway, if you'll join me in our closing prayer, we just give thanks to truth, we give thanks to the wisdom that is working through us, to this wonderful light that is ours, that is always there. So whenever we wish to welcome it, embrace it, to explore it, it's there. It's ours. It belongs to us in absolute and perfect love. And we just give thanks for this. And amen.